Good morning once again, Albuquerque. Welcome back to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. I am your host, Sean Boccaccini, and we are pretty excited. I got my co-host, Patrick Baldonado, in here with me this morning. We want you to know that Go Local Boom is brought to you by Rocketbox SEO. Launch your business into another dimension with Rocketbox SEO. Give them a call at 505-453-9595 if you need a new website or if you can't be found on Google the way that you want to. That's an important resource for a business nowadays, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Everybody's going to search online, whether right. they see your logo out somewhere, they've got a business card, your vehicle in their neighborhood, they're still going to check you out online. So we like to get you to the top of the first page of Google so they find you first. Call Rocketbox SEO at 505-453-9595. All right, so my co-host, my partner, Vincent Trujillo, he's out of the country, living the life of a jet-setting entrepreneur.
Isn't that awesome.
So you're here this morning. Patrick Baldonado, VP, Bank of New Mexico.
Good morning, everybody.
DJ PB&J.
Very good, Sean.
Also, Baldonado Photography. This guy is not exactly a jack of all trades, but certainly a master of a few. And business networking and development is one of them. So we're really excited to have you again as our co-host. Good morning.
Oh, so glad to be here, Sean. Thank you so much. I'm glad. Everything you're doing is amazing, so excited about getting these local businesses on air.
Just with your support, we're stronger together. Thank you
absolutely.
So much. Okay, so we're going to dive into it. We've got a really cool show. It's tax time. Everybody wants to talk about
taxes.
Tax time.
That's exciting. It's exciting stuff.
I want to talk about carving pumpkins, but I can't monetize that in any way, so let's talk about tax time.
We'll carve it after we get our leftovers, right? The money that's going to go out on taxes.
So our first guest this morning, Teresa Size of Size Accounting and Tax Preparation. Preparation. Teresa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Wonderful. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you for being here for us. You're actually going to be the first tax preparation person we've had on the show.
Awesome.
This is an appropriate time of year to start talking about that.
Exactly. Especially because now that everybody's procrastinated, tax deadline is Monday, October 17th.
Yep. So. It's time. It is time to get her done.
Or file a second extension, right?
You don't get a second extension.
No such thing as a second extension, late fees and penalties. So Teresa's here to fill us in on that. Tell us how we can reach you if we need your services.
Well, my phone number is 505-414-8964. We are located on Montgomery. That's 7410 Montgomery Boulevard Northeast in the Mossman Town Shopping Center in Suite 206. And my website is sizeaccounting.com.
And that's S-A-I-Z accounting.com. What about social media?
Social media, we're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/sizeaccounting and also a Twitter, sizeaccounting.
You're doing a better job than I am.
Awesome.
I'm not on Twitter.
He's all over it.
I was recently shamed for that. I guess I should probably get it going. I've got a bunch of people on Instagram that I follow, and they follow me back. I think it's just like obligatory, though.
Well, now you can just go live on Facebook.
I don't really know what I'm doing with it.
Yeah, so. Facebook has a new thing.
Live. Yeah, I do a live thing, so you know, it kind of replaces Twitter anyway.
There you go.
So in any case, Teresa, tell us about your business. How long have you been in business for yourself?
I've been in business for 12 years serving the Albuquerque area, but not only the Albuquerque area, we serve plenty of states. New Mexico is unique because New Mexico has a lot more taxes than other states.
Really?
Yay.
So, yeah, which causes a lot of people to leave New Mexico. But, you know, we have a beautiful state, and the people that stay here, actually, we just help them educate them on what taxes they need to be paid and then deal with the IRS.
I'm not familiar with that information. Why does New Mexico have more taxes?
You know, you would think that it would help our economy for having more taxes, but, you know, we have a gross receipts tax. There is actually 5 states that don't have a gross receipts tax. We also, when you're in business, you get higher taxed in New Mexico. I don't know why that is. You know, New Mexico is a harder state as opposed to like IRS.
Mm-hmm.
IRS wants to work with you with your tax issues, you know, get you on a payment plan. State of New Mexico, they don't care where you're at. Or what financial struggles you have, they just want you to pay your tax.
It's interesting because I've had businesses in the past where after selling the business, the IRS says, hey, you owe us a little bit of money here. And I always paid an accountant to file the taxes and do everything properly. So we have to go back into the documentation, pull something out of the file and send it to them that we had already sent them. You know, exactly. We did our due diligence, but for some reason on their end, they don't track having the document. And they're pretty persistent about you owe us money, you know, and you have to prove you that you prove don't it. Owe us money. It's not that...
Burden of proof is on you.
That's wonderful.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, basically it just is you as easily as turning in on a form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people procrastinate it. They get an IRS letter. They get a second letter. You know, usually get three letters before you actually get a certified letter. By the time you get a certified letter, you have 10 days to respond, and then they start taking things from you.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people will say, they took from my bank account, and I don't understand why. Well, you get to get three previous letters, and I know for a fact that they always send out three previous letters. So, you know, people, when they're digging through their stuff, they come up with this, and they're like, oh, yeah, I did get this letter. Not that it's, you know, you end up getting penalties and interest for that, but most of the time, it's all about providing a piece of paper that they lost in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I've had that experience myself. So it's good to have somebody like you on our team for business owners. So tell us the benefits that you can see as an accountant or bookkeeper that a business owner would experience rather than doing their books themselves, because a lot of people like to do that.
A lot of people do like to do that. With businesses, you know your trade. Like I like to say that we allow you to do what you do best. You know what you're doing, whether it's making widgets or selling a certain product. You know what you're doing, but you don't know the accounting mm-hmm. point of view. You don't know the breakdown between the incomes and the expense. And you, most of the time, you don't know how to budget. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know how to budget personally, and they don't know how to budget in a business. So in most businesses, you're looking at your net income, which is income less your expenses equals your profit.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't make a lot of profit. So what we try to get you to understand is, okay, this is your income. What can we lower on your expenses that'll give you a greater profit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is good for the banks.
Yes.
If you want to get a loan, you got to show some income.
Yes. Interesting. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we see time and time again, a lot of business owners really deduct, so that by the time you look at the bottom line on your tax return, that's what the banks go off of, and they're not lendable.
Exactly. Another thing that people don't account for is the gross receipts tax.
Mm-hmm.
People will collect the total amount due with gross receipts tax, and they don't realize that that's not their money.
Right.
Which, you know, it's basic. Yes, this is not my money. I collected money from them that mm-hmm. I have to give to them. But most people don't see that in their bank account. They see the amount in their bank account, mm-hmm. they spend what's in their bank account, and then don't account for the taxes. So when it comes up to be tax time, well, I don't have that money. How do you expect me to pay that?
Yeah,
you did collect it.
In the past, I had a pretty bad experience. It's interesting how many experiences I've had when it comes to taxes, and I don't know that New Mexico has more taxes than the average state.
Well, now you do.
You know, I started my first business when I was very young. It was a cleaning company, and I was absorbed by a larger company that was a franchise. And when I came on as operations manager, I collected my profit from my database and my customers, my experience, and came on as ops manager, but I was not managing the finances. I've always had an accountant, a friend, you know, do that for me. And what happened with the business is, you know, myself, 40 employees and 4,000 customers mm-hmm. show up for work one day and the doors are locked. The IRS had come. They wiped the whole fleet out of the parking lot, 30 vehicles. They'd seized the property essentially, right. So we couldn't have access to any of our personal belongings or any of the equipment for the business, because the business owner had avoided paying his taxes for so long,
right.
And was using gross receipts tax and payroll taxes and so on. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're $1 million cleaning franchise with 4,000 customers, you're looking at sometimes $20,000 or more, you know, a week that right. you owe in taxes for collecting that much revenues.
Sure.
And he was using that money. We don't really know what he was doing to use the money. I mean, I guess buying new vehicles and equipment. Mm-hmm. And we funded our growth. Once I came to the company, we created two other divisions and we were expanding very quickly. And a few people around me were saying, man, usually businesses don't expand that quickly. That guy must've mm-hmm. had a lot of money in the bank. He hadn't saved any money. He was using the taxes to fund the growth, hoping that one day they would get caught up. And eventually the IRS said, well, no, we're going to take all of this because you owe us this money.
Yeah.
It is a domino effect. Everybody that collects the tax, you know, they have the provision set up to where you're paying monthly, quarterly, semi-annually. Most people will push it out as far as possible. But, you know, paying a $200 bill monthly and then paying $5,000 a quarterly, you know, most people don't have that money saved up.
Right.
And now they have it to where, you know, you can actually pay payroll taxes. You know, the moment that you pay out payroll, you pay payroll taxes, mm-hmm. which of course is not going to be a huge hit. If you accumulate those, that's where you get that huge right. hit. And that's where people get tax evasion from, because now they don't know what to do.
Yep.
And they're always trying to make that next dollar so that they can repay it back.
Yeah, that's a difficult trap to fall into when you're a business owner. This is a reason that it definitely pays to have an accountant on the team, because you can see those things. It's that penny wise, pound foolish mentality, if you will, where we don't really know the dangers or the pitfalls that we face if we're not being responsible and diligent about, you know, the books now. Because I know a lot of people that own their own business, or they're 1099, they're a contractor, and they do the same thing. Instead of just paying the taxes as you receive the income, and making it pretty easy, because you can set these up as automatic payments to go out and so on, they let it build. Well, I'm going to save 10% of every check
right.
for taxes. Why put it in there? Because then they see it as an emergency reserve. Right. Well, I've got $5,000 in the bank. My car just broke down. I can just spend that. Well, that's not your money, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, difficult. Good that you came in and talked with us today about the services that you provide. So in our last minute, is there anything that you want to point out to people that, you know, in terms of something seasonal or incentives that you'll give for new clients?
Incentives I give for new clients, you know, I always generally try and give them a 25% break.
Oh, you know, that's great.
Especially when we're just setting up their books, because that's the most important thing for businesses, to set up your books. In June, or throughout the year after June, we always give a free consultation of where you're going to be during tax season, because at any time that'll give you a moment to save up money for paying your taxes. And now that the tax deadline is coming up, we are offering $25 off of a return that's $150 or less, or anything $150 above, $50
off. That's phenomenal. We'll be sure that we tell everybody in Go Local Boom to check it out. Teresa Size, Size Accounting, 505-414-8964. Coming up, you're going to check out, if you're looking to get out of your business and sell it for a profit, or potentially obtain a new business, we've got a great company, Business Acquisitions, that can help you do that. So check us out.
Awesome.
Check us out after the break. You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. Welcome back to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. Patrick, you having fun?
Oh, I'm having a blast. I'm loving the music, too. This is great.
This is like your day today. We have an accountant, we have business acquisitions, and then I think we've got another accountant following this.
This is exciting stuff for me. I love numbers.
This is the numbers day, the Bank of New Mexico day. So in any case, our second guest this morning on Go Local Boom, we always like to talk about all aspects of business resources, networking, you know, new client acquisition, staffing and training and team building and so on. Business acquisitions is not one that we have covered yet. So I'm very excited to have Barbara Klein. She's the business broker at Business Acquisitions LLC, who's been in business for quite some time in our market and other markets as well now. Good morning, Barbara.
Yeah, she's got
good morning, Sean.
Welcome.
Good to see you today.
It's good to see you as well. Thank you for joining us. I'm sure that our listeners are excited to hear what you have to say. So we like to lead off with contact information. Tell us about your business and how they would reach you.
Okay, Business Acquisitions is here to help business owners sell their businesses when they're ready. And we recommend starting a couple of years before they're ready. And it's also to help people choose a business that they want to buy. We are located on Wyoming, 8100 Wyoming, and my phone number is 505-369-3000. My email address is bklein, that's B-K-L-I-N-E, at biz-acq.com.
That's a great website.
It's fun. I think we got the perfect name for what we're doing.
It's pretty groovy. Okay, so tell us, how did you get into doing business acquisitions?
Well, actually, it's the owner, Jim Eaton, is a longtime friend. And we were talking recently, and he was looking for somebody to operate the office here because he has relocated to Houston. And I just thought it would be a great opportunity. I recently got my commercial real estate license,
mm-hmm.
and the ability to help people both buy and sell buildings or lease buildings is a perfect complement to helping people get organized to either sell or start out as a business. You know, there's a big emphasis here in Albuquerque on startups. And startups are great. I worked in startups for a number of years as a business consultant and as a marketing consultant, but they're very high-risk operations. And it's very expensive to do a startup. A lot of people who are looking to buy a business don't really want to go through that process. They want to find something that's already established and walk in, kind of take it over as their job, and grow it from there. And that's what we help do.
So I understand that any business would be a viable business to acquire, if as long as it's profitable and so on. But my interests may lie therein, you know, this or that, or the technologies or the service industry. Are there any that you find you guys work with more?
We work pretty broadly. I think most of the businesses that we're working with right now are either industrial or a lot in the construction industry. I think a service business is more of a challenge because, and I'm thinking of professional services, because often there's a major personality program around the person who's the owner, and there's not really a lot of hard assets. You're basically buying the customers and the panache and the reputation of the company. But those are things that we're able to package as well.
That makes a lot of sense.
I say it's hard sometimes because you're the person who owns the business, sometimes is the business.
Absolutely.
You know, their personality is hard to replace.
Well, you know, it was really interesting. My first experience with acquisitions, I was really on the company side of that, was back in Silicon Valley in the 80s, because the large public relations firms were coming in and swooping up these little tiny technology firms, which had a very different profile from what the other companies did. And so it was fascinating because all of the local companies were pretty small, pretty personality based. And they'd come in and these companies would try to integrate this thing that worked globally in a very, very different market. And it was fascinating to watch what happened as they tried to integrate those.
Sure.
I can imagine.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, you're actually, you had given us advice at a meeting we had the other day about going into your business and actually looking at, as you're going in, to how do you get out, right?
I mean, absolutely.
That's where you really need to look at
it. It's important because, you know, if you look at it, some people are organized enough to plan ahead and say, oh, I'm going to get out of the business in 5 years or whatever. But you'll find that most people who are in the process of needing to sell a business have an urgent requirement. You know, they're in the middle of a divorce. They need to move for family reasons. Somebody got sick. They lost a partner. And I was just talking to Steve out in the coffee area, and we were talking about the fact that if you haven't planned ahead, if you don't have your books in order, if you don't have your marketing in place, if you don't have some succession planning, which is going to allow the business to continue without you, it's really hard to sell, and the value, quite frankly, goes down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we really like to do is see people come in kind of as a checkup along the way and just say, hey, you know, maybe I want to sell this. What do I need to do? And so that they're going to be ready when the opportunity is there.
And if you're not leaving the business as a legacy for your family, for your children to take over, and although some people have the ideal or the idea that they would want to do that, not all children agree that they want to go into accounting or technologies or window cleaning, whatever it may be.
But kids want to do what their parents want to do, right?
Yeah, well, maybe they worked there as a summer job when they were going through high school, but now they're going to college and taking a very different direction in their lives. So in any case, I'm an online guy. Like my job is to educate the business professional on how important it is to have an online property and how important your online presence is for your bottom line.
Right.
Because online, organic online traffic is a line item is a selling point. If you've got 10,000 people going to your website organically every month because they're interested in your service or they're engaging your social networks, that's as valuable because in itself could be an expense for advertising. Your competitor may not have that organic traffic. They may be purchasing that kind of exposure to your business by paying for advertising. And advertising, although you see it as a very valuable necessity, the amount of business that you're getting for that does not directly relate to your profitability. And so when we remove, maybe the next person who purchases your business doesn't want to spend that much in advertising. That means that the profitability will decrease. But if your online organic traffic is already, you know, pretty high, well, then that enhances the value, increases the value of your business, because the internet is a world in itself. You know, your website is your marketing professional that needs to be professionally dressed and have a good appearance, be very knowledgeable about your business, be able to speak to your service offerings and so on, and give the client a good experience. But the client can interact with that marketing professional in their underwear at home at 2 o'clock in the morning. Your salesperson isn't going to be able to connect with people that way. Right. And it's surprising to me how even people who are looking to build a business that they can one day sell and get out of still don't value online as much as, you know, others do.
It's a matter of education, I imagine, more than anything else.
And the difficult thing about that is that these individuals a lot of times have been building their business since the days of the push button phone hanging on the wall. And they're more interested in how to get that phone ring when, you know, I'm more interested in how to get online submissions through your website, because you can process those requests without having to talk to somebody on the phone.
When was the last time you turned to the Yellow Pages?
Yeah. Well, you know,
I use it to stack up my monitor on my desk the other day.
Our website is a major source of referrals for us. And I agree with you totally. But I think that gets into, you know, the whole issue of working in your business versus working on your business.
Yeah.
And, agreed. You know, so many small businesses, you know, you come in because you have a passion, and your passion isn't for running a business. It's for doing whatever you do.
It's
hard to get out of that. And I think you have to get out of that to start looking at some of these new ways to market or
at least find people, you know, build a team of people that you can trust that are really good at marketing or online or advertising or accounting or whatever it is, you know, recruit people and build a team that you can trust and allow them to do what they're really good at while you get to do what you love, right?
Absolutely.
And I've seen more people succeed, you know, and go to work happy because they have relinquished a little bit of that control, because entrepreneurs are like that. They're very A-type. They think that
they want to control everything,
and that their business will fail if they don't. And it's critical to be able to, you know, gain some trust or gain some people on your team that you can trust.
Absolutely, and especially if you're going to sell it.
Mm-hmm. And so I assume that it's an interesting transition, or, you know, client acquisition process for you all to create a value proposition and build a relationship with this business owner 2 or 3 years in advance, so right. they take the necessary steps to gain maximum profit when it comes time to get out of the business. So how do you, I mean, you get a lot of leads through your website, you said,
right.
but how do you build relationships with people? We always talk about networking and strategizing here. What's your business acquisitions best methodology to build relationships with new clients?
Well, we normally sit down and have some serious conversations. I mean, we do not expect somebody to leap in tomorrow. And so one of the things that I have found is really effective is sitting down talking to somebody about their business now, how successful it is, what they need to change, and also offering a few tips on things that they could do just slightly different in order to increase revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And that establishes a relationship pretty quickly, because you can get pretty excited when somebody says, well, all you have to do is do a little bit of this and a little bit of this and a little bit of this, and it should really impact the bottom line that you're going to get for your business. Yeah. And then we stay in touch.
Teresa, the accountant, was just in here a moment ago from Size Accounting, and she said something very similar, is that there are very simple things you can do to maximize your profits, which make a business more valuable, more lendable, as Patrick was talking about.
Exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, that's exciting information. That's one way to earn a person's trust. Tell them how to make more money.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun way to do it. I really enjoy talking to our clients and our prospects. It's just a really wonderful experience.
I can imagine so. I think that people could probably be very intimidated, you know, if they're not ready to have this conversation. It's kind of like planning your funeral, you know what I mean? you want to do it ahead of time so that your family doesn't suffer. Well, you know, we're talking about leaving the business that I built. How do we really have that conversation? I don't want to think about that.
Well, you know, right. It's good. I recommend it to anybody who owns a business to get with somebody like Barbara and really get a good consultation.
Yeah, right. even if maybe you're not ready to leave the business now, business acquisitions perspective can enhance your business or help you increase your profitability or maybe diversify in some way that benefits you now, you know, it's good information to have.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's that long-term planning that's really important. And so we try not to make it intimidating, but just say, sit down and talk to us now because someday you are going to sell.
That makes a lot of sense. So in our last minute, you want to give us your contact information again and tell us about anything special that you guys have going on in the community?
Okay. My name is Barbara Klein. My email address is bkline, that's B-K-L-I-N-E, at biz-acq.com. Our website is www.businessacquisitions.com. And my phone number is 505-369-3000. In terms of the organization, we are here and ready to serve at any time, and I encourage people to get in touch early and understand what it's going to be. As far as things that we're doing, I'm kind of involved in a couple of campaigns, but we'll have to talk about those some other time.
Barbara, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Business Acquisitions LLC, Barbara Klein, was a great guest this morning. Coming right up, we're going to have another business professional telling us how to maximize profits in our business, which I'm really excited to listen to. You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. We are back again on 1050 KTBL with Go Local Boom. Go Local Boom is a local online business directory, and it's a free resource to any local business. And then we started up the radio show because we want to be able to bring those businesses in and give them an opportunity to have a free resource that they would otherwise have to pay for, that maybe larger businesses that aren't necessarily locally focused could afford, you know? And so the radio show and the online business directory are just a way for us to enhance this Go Local movement and introduce people as a connection point to one another. So Steve Becerra from the Becerra Group, accounting and tax professionals, been in business in Albuquerque for quite some time. We're excited to talk to you about what's going on and about the service that you provide businesses, because on Go Local Boom, we like to be a resource to our listeners and to the businesses that have profiles on our platform. So tell us about what you do and how we can reach you.
Well, first of all, thanks a lot, Sean, for having you here, and Patrick.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. We are a local firm, been in business now. In July of next year, it will be 23 years.
Well, that's longer than you've been alive, Patrick.
Hey, now. Yeah. Come on.
He's just a child.
I am. I'm just a little baby.
So the genesis of it basically started out with me working at the IRS for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
Right after I graduated from UNM here at Anderson. Ended up working there for 18 years, and then it got to the point where it was you either stay here and do the same thing for the next 17 years or you leave. And I wasn't ready to leave. I'm like a Chinese element. The roots are very deep. So we decided to leave. I hung a shingle, and the rest is history.
So. Yeah, so a unique perspective as a CPA coming from the IRS to working now with businesses.
And let me correct that. As a EA, I am an enrolled agent. My licensure is federal, not state. I am an accountant. However, my expertise is tax.
That's wonderful. Okay, and so when did you decide that working for yourself is what you wanted to do? You used the term hang a shingle. I'm not familiar with that term. What does that mean?
Basically what it means is you're putting up a sign saying, hey, I'm here, open for business.
Okay, so we're on the same page.
Yeah, we're on the same page, yeah. I don't know if I really understood that I was an entrepreneur. I think I had an 18-year lull or even longer because my dad was a was a barber here in town, mm-hmm. and I was the shoeshine boy for several years. So that was my first venture into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so I did that for a while.
Have a childhood story like that.
Right, right. Yeah. So I was the shoeshine boy there, and so that was pretty cool, making my own money.
Mm-hmm.
Bought my first bike with that. And so
while getting to work with Dad, who had his own business.
That's
an important influence as well. Yeah,
yeah, it was. So, and then I ended up going to work for the federal government, and that was a good experience.
That sounds like it would be.
Well, I got the best tax training that you'll ever get in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Once I was there, then had years of experience, and I said when I left, I said, well, I just like I said, I'll hang a shingle, and now I'm going to go on the other side of the fence. And so what we did is we started doing tax representation. People who were getting a little pickle with the IRS or tax and rev, we represent them.
And when you say we, did you have a business partner from the start or just recruited a team and hired people to work with you?
I recruited a team. So mm-hmm. I started out on my own, and then I did have a partner for a little bit, and then we went our own ways. And then now I've just basically established a team. And so
how many people on your team?
We've got 10 people right now.
That's a solid team.
Yeah, and it's for what we do is we do basic write-up work, which is a bookkeeping and accounting.
Mm-hmm.
We do tax preparation, anything from a 1040 to 1120, 1120S, mm-hmm. 65 partnerships and LLCs. And then, of course, we do the tax representation part of it. So there's a few silos in our business.
That's really awesome. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you
for staying in our community.
And he's such a humble guy. I got to tell you, Mr. Posada, you always amaze me. I mean, he was running the SBDC for a while, Small Business Development Center, chairman of the board for the Hispano Chamber, very locked in with the community and a huge advocate for the Latino market here in New Mexico.
Thank you so much for your work in our community.
Well, Patrick, I appreciate that. And Patrick and I go way back. He was my first banker. And so we've been doing business for a long time. But I'm from here. This is my roots are here. On my mom's side, they go back all the way to the land grant, mm-hmm. musical land grant. So, yeah. It goes way back.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you and congratulations for creating jobs and such an established brand in our community, but also for what you do for businesses. So tell us best opportunity for you to work with a new business. What would your ideal client be today?
Well, ideal client obviously is going to be a small business. And when we say small business, it could be anywhere up to about $20 million in gross receipts.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to that level, then it starts to the dynamics change on a business.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really not designed to do that. We're really designed to work with the small business. From a mom and pop to a mom and pop that actually grows and has several employees, and it's still growing. So that would be our ideal client. In dealing with these small businesses, several issues will always arise. But one of the common things that comes up, especially with a small business, is compliance, tax compliance,
mm-hmm.
In addition to keeping good books. Both of those are important. Without that, the foundation of the business can crumble.
Indeed. It's been the business finance hour this morning.
Really?
We had an accountant in here as our first guest and then business acquisitions as our second guest. And she suggests to businesses how they can structure their business in a way that one day they can exit, with profitability and sell it to somebody else. But the theme that has kind of woven through each of these interviews is that a business owner ought to be allowed to or encouraged to do what they're really good at. Their passion is this, and that's why they started this business and they do it really well. Maybe they're not so good at bookkeeping, and maybe they think they'd want to handle their own accounting because it'll save them money, but really hiring a professional along them to do a good job could free up your time. And time is money.
Absolutely.
And having a professional perspective and advice from an accountant, especially one who's so certified or has such a strong team, I can't imagine doing my books on my own. I couldn't. I've always had an accountant, and it was a friend. When I got into business for myself 15 years ago, mm-hmm. A friend said, yeah, you ought to just hire a bookkeeper. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to learn how to do this myself. And she said, listen, my uncle's a bookkeeper. He said he'll do it for you for free because he wants to earn your business and he'll show you what you need to know. And it was so much work that I was completely uninterested in doing that I just hired him to do it.
Well,
and it was very affordable.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because we were having a conversation earlier with the distinction between working in your business and working on your business.
Mm-hmm.
And working in your business, so you can be the best widget maker there is. That does not necessarily make you the best business person. Mm. So it's important that, yeah, you know what the technical aspect of your business is. And if you want to remain doing that, there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody says that you need to grow. You need right. to go to another level. But if you do want your business to actually grow, then at some point you have to make that transition from the working in the business mm-hmm. to working on the business. And that's learning all aspects of it. Yes. I mentioned about bookkeeping, for example. Mm-hmm. With most of our clients, we like to ensure that our clients understand their financial statements, whether it's the income statement, the balance sheet, or maybe a cash flow statement. They don't necessarily have to be the experts on doing that, but they should understand what those numbers mean, because when we have a meeting with them, which hopefully is monthly, we talk to them about what those numbers
mean. And you want to be able to speak the same language.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they should at least have some rudimentary understanding of what we're talking mm-hmm. about, because you'll be able to translate that to your business. Mm-hmm. So if you have some profitability, we say you have a gross margin here of about 35%, what does that mean? And you'll know, and you empirically, the business owner should understand, yeah, okay, so I do have a 65% cost of goods sold in the product that I buy that I turn around and sell. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we do have that connection.
Well, and I got to reiterate again, as a banker, we always look for, you know, we have to lend on profitability based on the tax return, mm-hmm. not on what they say they're earning.
Right.
So we need to make sure that the accountants and the business owners work together if they're going to be growing and they need a loan, that they actually work together with their accountant to show some profit.
Absolutely, because when we're working together, we should be talking about the financial and the tax return. In your financial statements and your tax return, they should have some semblance of familiarity with mm-hmm. each other, because tax accounting and financial accounting does not have a disparity that is so wide that they don't even look alike. Mm-hmm. They should have some, you know, some closeness to them, because the difference between the tax accounting and the financial accounting is you know, some of the adjustments that are being made are just, they're not significant unless it's a particular issue. But for the most part, they should be look-alike.
Yeah, we were talking about earlier how I've known a few business professionals get caught up in the GRT. Because you collect the gross receipts tax at the time of the transaction, that doesn't make it your money. That's not profit, right? You're collecting this percentage on top of the services that you provide, but that money is not going into your bank account necessarily. It's not profitability. It's an expense, you know?
Exactly. It's not profitability. And one of the things that we like to always emphasize to our clients is that GRT is different from sales tax. Mm-hmm. You take a sales tax in another state, sales tax is imposed on the seller. Imposed on the buyer. Mm-hmm. In New Mexico, the gross receipts tax is imposed on the seller. So it's not a trust fund. It's actually a tax that's
good way to look at it.
Upon you mm-hmm. that you then have to turn over and pay it. But it's not a trust. Whereas in the sales tax, it's more like a trust, because you're collecting from the buyer and then you're turning it over. So,
yep.
But GRT is a very, very slippery slope, because mm-hmm. many businesses do not understand the ramifications of what goes on, especially how far it can go and how long it can stick to you if you don't mm-hmm. pay that tax.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier too. We had some bad, I've had some bad experiences with business partners in the past because I didn't, pay attention to the finances as much. But it's difficult for an entrepreneur, especially who has built a business from just working on their own, being the only person, to having a team, to relinquish control and find somebody that they can trust to talk to them about their money, right? The most important thing here. Mm-hmm. My whole livelihood, that of my families and the families of my team, are dependent upon us being profitable and us, not losing any of this money or not misappropriating any of this money. And A-type personalities got the business to profitability in the first place. To relinquish control and to be able to trust somebody at times can be difficult. So it's great that you guys have been doing it as long as you have. A lot of positive word of mouth reputation. You've got great online presence as well. We design websites and do search engine optimization, and the Becerra Group dominates Google. You guys do a good job.
Well, we're trying to, and we're always looking at changing that and adding value to our mm-hmm. to our website. We're working with our web designer now to do that next step, which is over our tax returns, so we can get them onto portals so that our clients can just access them. Instead of giving us a call and say, hey, mm-hmm. I'd like a copy of that tax return you did, we just say, well, just go ahead and go to the website.
Oh, what a great resource that would be. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What other new stuff do you guys have going on?
Well, we're a lot of it is in the area of tax representation. So in tax representation, that's really the most important part that we've been dealing with lately. And that's because of IRS's change. You know, IRS's funding has gone down and their compliance efforts have increased. But they've gone, the increase is not so much that you're going to get a phone call or rather a visit or a letter from a local revenue agent. It's mostly you're going to get a letter. And so it's critical that our clients understand, all the whole taxpaying public understand, you get the letter from the IRS, make sure you understand what that letter is telling you. And if you don't understand it, get some competent advice on how to get represented or at least advise you how to answer that letter.
Great advice.
Indeed. And there are a lot of great resources in the community just for that purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Mr. Becerra, if you want to provide us with your contact information one more time in case people want to reach out to you.
They can reach us by phone at area code 505-462-9090, 505-462-9090. And they can reach us by email at tbg@abq.com or our website, which is www.thebecerragroup.net.
Yeah, sorry, that's B-E-C-E-R-R-A group.net, thebecerragroup.net. All right, Steve Becerra, thank you so much again for what you're doing in our community and for being a guest on our show today. We sincerely appreciate it. Folks, you're going to hear the wrap-up here in a few minutes. Patrick and I are going to give you some wonderful business tips and pointers on how you can expand your network. Coming right back, you're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. Man, our producer Mike is doing such a great job with the music this morning.
I am having a blast with the music.
Yeah, it keeps a high level of energy. Oh, folks, yeah. You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. We're really excited to talk to you about business resources. Check us out online at www.golocalboom.com. Free online business resources for locals.
Awesome.
Any kind of business, anywhere, no budget, no strings attached. We just want you to be found online. We want a great local business directory. And if you get involved in that, you can come on air and do an interview on this show for free as well.
What an amazing resource you're providing.
You can't beat that.
No, not at all.
All right, so my co-host, Patrick Baldonado, VP at Bank of New Mexico, brought in some awesome guests for us this morning. We'll run through a couple of pointers on those really quick.
Yeah.
So Size Accounting, Teresa Size, been in business for a dozen years, doing a great job as a bookkeeper and accountant. She's got a team that can help you organize your books and stay profitable, right?
Oh, yeah.
You find them online at sizeaccounting.com. And then Barbara Klein came in here, business broker, Business Acquisitions LLC. They've been buying and selling businesses for years. They're doing it here and in Texas and New York now as well. So
oh, yeah.
She just took over the local office so that the business owner can branch out to Texas. Mm-hmm. That's pretty exciting.
She's a great resource.
Yeah.
She
and
really
you
is.
Brought her in as a guest. How did you meet Barbara?
Oh, man. Barbara and I go way back. She's done so many different great businesses. But she actually came from Silicon Valley.
Ah.
And so she was working in that area in California, brought her expertise here to New Mexico. And I ran into her right away because she's such a visible, viable business partner out there. So she's got a presence. And so we ran into her right away. And, of course, being a banker, we run into everybody right
yep.
away. And started working with her. And she was a great resource for us at the bank. And
seems like a great lady, yeah.
I've been in touch with her for all these years. She's just amazing. And this is a perfect fit for her.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited about it. And she can help us get introduced to some people that she's, you know, helped acquire businesses and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Steven Becerra, man, he's been doing things for a long time. Mm-hmm. I made the joke earlier that he's been doing it almost as long as you've been alive.
Yeah, almost, right? Yeah, no, Steve's great. He's the one who actually nominated me for the board of directors for the Hispano Chamber.
I'm beginning to see how it all comes together.
Well, Steve and I go way back. I've always been a fan of Steve. Just getting the government's perspective for somebody who's worked in the IRS mm-hmm. trenches, actually going out there doing audits and working what he did, and actually now on the side of business, what a unique perspective, because he knows, that deep knowledge is fantastic,
mm-hmm.
and it's what a great resource as well.
Pretty groovy, man. All right, so tell us about, you told me that Bank of New Mexico is involved in the mayoral candidacy.
Well, I wouldn't say the bank is, but what I'm doing is I'm really putting together a leaders group here in Albuquerque, because it's all about vision for New Mexico and Albuquerque and what we can do as leaders. Because you heard in some of the guests that we're talking today that we're taxed pretty heavily. There's a lot of businesses that are leaving the state of New Mexico. What can we do here locally as business leaders to help incentivize businesses to stay here, grow here? We don't want our families leaving. We don't want our kids leaving. We want businesses to grow and thrive here.
Yeah, we should get a Facebook data center or something like that.
Oh, it's, you know, so, right? We should. So we're actually starting a meeting. We're going to be doing a meeting tomorrow with some of the leaders at Ruth Chris Steakhouse just to kind of gather some of the top minds and really understand, wow, well, this is we need to do something now. Mm-hmm. So collectively get people together, get the voices together. We're coming into a mayoral race. I think the mayor's position is very, very important.
Well, Mayor Barry has always been so great at traveling the country and the world and researching business resources and viability. And what's the best strategy for Albuquerque? Because we're a strangely unique market. More nonprofits than any other state in the union. More restaurants than any other state in the union. So we don't have a lot of money, but we really like to eat out. And there are some, you know, dichotomy in the way that our economy is structured. And so he's always done a really good job of bringing and utilizing resources, you know, to improve our community.
Well, you see some of these other cities that are thriving around us, where you have Phoenix, Denver. You know, I recently took a trip to New Orleans and was out in that was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And so I've been actually getting some of the local musicians together here too, because man, what a thriving experience that was. Mm-hmm. But tourists come out here for Balloon Fiesta, all the other things that we have here. We need to increase and enhance that culture so that we can really get more and more people out here to build our economy.
So you're going to have somebody from the Department of Tourism, I assume, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also some people that are dealing with some of the local artists and musicians as well. And
yeah, Carlos Contreras is big into that. Carlos is a great connection point.
Sure.
And he's over there at the Hispano Chamber with you all.
He is.
Yeah. So that's pretty exciting. How was the Balloon Fiesta for you?
Great. I didn't get to go out as much as I usually like to. I usually crew with the Enchanted Diamonds crew out there. So if they're listening, hey, heads up, guys.
Well, and
they did a great job.
Your office is right there off of Jefferson and Paseo.
Yeah, balloons
so
in our parking lot.
I assume that traffic was interesting throughout that couple of weeks, right?
The city's getting it down. They know how to move traffic.
I noticed that. You're absolutely right. A lot of people were concerned about taking Alameda, and I live, you know, right at the top of the hill, not quite Rio Rancho, but Alameda is my main, you know, course of travel. A lot of people divert over to Paseo. And so Alameda becomes the quickest way to get through, because the city has done a really good job of navigating traffic. Yeah. Pretty cool. All right, folks. Well, we want you to know that Go Local Boom is brought to you by Rocketbox SEO. Launch your business into a new dimension with Rocketbox SEO and web design. Give them a call at 505-453-9595 if you want your business found first on Google.
Which you do.
Patrick Baldonado, VP Bank of New Mexico, we thank you for bringing some guests in and spending time with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Sean.
And we also want to thank 1050 KTBL for giving us a platform to support local businesses. We'll see you next week. You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL.